This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We welcome everyone to the show today. Opening half hour brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. The best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Todd, welcome.
Good afternoon. It's a beautiful day out.
Yes. So I'll tell you, yesterday, it was like, I don't know, 64, 65 when practice started yesterday. So I got there a little early, and I'm going through the locker room. I went back to the equipment room for a minute. And Chase Meyer, one of the place kickers, was laying on the floor, gets up off the floor. He goes, oh, man, I got to go back to the equipment room. I got to get some warmer stuff. I said, warmer stuff? I said, it's in the 60s. He goes, well, Mr. Jones, he says, you know, I grew up in California. And I said, yeah, and you kicked at Penn. And he goes, yeah. I said, and you kicked at Tulsa. I said, that's not exactly the banana belt. But he's a kicker. What can I say?
I was laughing last night because all the Florida people in the Little League World Series, the parents in the stands were bundled up like it was 45 degrees out.
Oh, I know. Now, last night, the Spikes game, it did get down to a wind. Because believe it or not, wind chill came into play last night. Like, wind chill? Yeah, wind chill came into play. And because it came into play, it got down to like 54, 55. Now, baseball, it's not so great. But I also point out that the coldest game I ever did was the opening day of 2008. Opening day 2008 was at Jamestown, New York. In fact, ironically, it was the last time the Celtics won the championship was that night. I remember going back to the hotel room and watching the end of the game. It was 41 degrees at game time. During the game, it got colder. It got into the like 38 degrees. I'm like, this is June. 38 degrees. Like, are you kidding me? That's nuts.
It sounds like covering spring sports in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Sit out and watch a baseball game in 42-degree weather.
Oh, I mean, well, it was interesting because there's some Penn State players involved, like Jordan Morales, Josh Spiegel played here, Grant Norris played here. And the running joke was, well, if anybody knows how to play in weather like this here, it's those three guys because that's the way it is. Here in the spring for playing baseball. Like, yeah, it's just how it is. So what's the lineup look like here?
For today, we're not very busy today. The rest of the tomorrow's pretty busy. We have John Sauber at 1:09, the high school football show, and Missy Matthews got back to me. She's going to join us at 2:35.
Good. Good to hear from Missy. And John, of course, is always great. So looking forward to that. Yeah, I like it. That's good. That's a good lineup. Yeah, today, you know, we just open up the lines today. Let's just listen to what people have to say, you know?
570-743-9565 is the phone number.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, people have questions. Why not? Why not let them ask the questions? You know, have a little bit of fun with that. They can ask all the questions they want. I don't care what they ask. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, so we'll open that up. You can give out the suit cell number.
I'd actually have to look that up. I don't have that one memorized.
Just call the local authorities. They've got it. What? Come on.
Just patch straight through.
Yeah. It's right to the top. It's really great. That way you don't mess around. You know, let's go right to it. All right. So here we are at this moment where today they begin work on West Virginia today. So that's today. By the way, Nebraska has named Dylan Raiola as their starting quarterback. I don't think anybody's surprised, but they made the announcement today. So they're going to go with the true freshman. Nebraska is an interesting program, Todd, because Nebraska is a program that has not been to a bowl game since 2016, yet every year they're highly touted. I don't get it.
I see them as a surprise team in the... not me, that I've read a couple times as a surprise team in the playoff just because of their schedule, that there's a good chance they're going to be undefeated till they get to Ohio State, because the only team they really play all year is Ohio State, apparently.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, I just don't think they're good enough. And you know how much, and you know how highly I think of Matt, okay? I mean, I think very highly of Matt Rhule. So that's, you know, that's not the issue here. But what is the issue to me is I just don't think they're talented enough.
Well, I think we talked about them when we talked about Indiana basketball. I think they're in the kind of the same. I think they get a benefit of the doubt yet that they probably don't deserve.
Yeah, but people keep hoping over and over again. I'm sorry. Predictions aren't based on hope. They just aren't.
I mean, I think there's a lot of... I'm sure you agree with this. I think there's a lot of confidence that Matt Rhule knows what he's doing, and I think that factors into it now. But, you know, they thought... I don't think it's in the same boat, but they thought Scott Frost was a good hire, and that did not turn out well either.
The problem they have is very simple. All right. In talent acquisition... Where's their recruiting area? When they were in the Big 12, they were able to go into Texas, which really helped them and kept them afloat in the Big 12. Now in the and where is that? I mean, I know they've gone back to California, and a lot of people have been mining California for years. So California has been an area where they've gone into. But where else? They can't really go back into Texas. And the reason they can't go back into Texas is because you can't convince recruits anymore, hey, you know, by the way, we're going to play Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, Texas. Right? But you can't do that anymore. You can't convince people of that because you don't. And I think that's the biggest problem they have in Nebraska is they don't have a natural recruiting area.
No, and from what Texas East in the South now is SEC country. It's not like they're gonna out recruit somebody, you know, go into Florida and out recruit somebody either anymore.
No, and a lot of people are trying to go into Florida.
Well, yeah.
mean, they aren't the only ones trying to go into Florida. A lot of people are. And this has nothing to do with Lincoln as a market, has nothing to do with the state of Nebraska. The only part of this commentary I'm having about the state of Nebraska is quite simple. The state of Nebraska doesn't have a lot of FBS football talent. They have some. Yeah, some.
Nor do they have the famous benefactor that could help them in NIL either. Not the one that's popping into my head.
Right. Yeah. The Missitanos gave $25 million to Beaver Stadium, by the way. There's now been another $10 million gift. So, I mean, they're getting some generous gifts. And it's an anonymous donor that gave the $10 million. This is where, you know, for example, over the years, I mean, normally the suit is more forward with what he does. Usually buys a billboard, blimp, look at me. But for him to do this anonymous gift,
it's for the nicest media food room in the land, right?
Ooh. Where everything's a buffet, man. But yeah, so that's $25 million from the Missitanos. Now a $10 million in an anonymous gift. And look, I know obviously there's a long way to go, but other people are making gifts as well. But it's still important that to get the significant ones that tell everybody that, hey, you're making progress toward what you're doing. And that's another step in the right direction. Another step in the right direction.
Are they done with what they were doing to the stadium this summer?
No.
No?
Not yet. No. I mean, I was in there on Sunday. I was in the stadium Sunday. And when the practice was over, they were outside working on it again. I mean, the one plus they have in what they're doing is that they're not in the stadium for a game until 2 weeks. The opener's on the road. That buys them a few extra days to get it done. The ribbon board up top, I don't think it's going to be ready until, in terms of all the electrical hookups and needed and so forth, until maybe October. But I'll say this, they've got all the panels in place because I was in there. So the panels are now in place on it. So that part is a step in the right direction. And again, they never promised to have it for the beginning of the season. They've always said the entire time they have said that it wasn't going to be until October. So that part's not behind. Yeah. But but the other parts, yeah, they're still working on it. It is. In the end, that part, the state, you'll see some improvements in the stadium right away because of that, and that's. It's going to make entrance in and out much, much better. It's going to put, the beginning of some food areas as well. So, more concession stands, things like that.
It's so strange to me. I think I've said this before. I've covered a football game. I've covered a lot of football games at Beaver Stadium. I've never actually been to a football game as a fan at Beaver Stadium.
You've never been a fan of the stadium?
No, I've never been there as a fan.
Oh, as a fan. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Obviously, the only time I've ever been there as a fan was when I was a student. That's the only time I've ever been a fan of the stadium was when I was a student. And that's why when it comes to stadium experience, instead of me telling you what the stadium experience is, I always ask the fans what your experience is like. That way it gives me a better idea of what I'm talking about.
Hey, Steve, we got Doug from Wellsboro.
Speaking of which, hello, Doug. How are you today?
Steven, how's the golf game?
Actually, really good. I can't play as much right now because of the spikes and football practice. But I think I've been right about a 9.8 handicap or something like that. It's been pretty good.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, it's time for my annual question. What is this offensive line going to look like? Are they still moving pieces around? Do they have talent there? Where do we stand at this point?
Well, there are always going to be pieces moving around, Doug, because they want to make sure people have experience in multiple areas, because the idea is that when somebody, say somebody were to get hurt, who are my best five guys? And if I have somebody locked into just one position, I'm talking about mostly the backups, then you're not going to get your best five guys out there. So there are guys that will, you know, Cooper Cousins has played some center. He's played the guard spots. Venga's played some center. Sal Wormley's played some center. You know what I mean? Things like that. But Drew Shelton's back at left tackle. He's a better left tackle than right tackle. Venga Iwani's had a lot of experience now, and I think he has a chance to be a really good guard. I think Dawkins has done a really nice job at center. Wormley's a sixth-year player and plays like a sixth-year player. And Donko, I thought, did a great job in the bowl game last year because mostly he played guard mostly last year, Doug, and then he played tackle in the bowl game against Ole Miss. Nolan Rucci is a really good player. I give him a lot of credit. Cousins is the kind of freshman that you can see all the potential in him. Javon Williams, I think, has had a very good camp. J.B. Nelson can play both guard spots and can play both tackle spots. So, I mean, that's nine guys right there, Doug, where I personally feel good about what they can do. And I think the starting five has been very good. I think that's one of the reasons why Drew and the receivers have had a very productive camp, because the offensive lines allow them to have a productive camp.
Is the starting five set right now, do you think?
I think in their minds, I think starting today, it's set. I think starting today, they're pretty much set everywhere, because today's the first West Virginia practice. It's also the time where they're cutting down on the length of practice. Now, this one will be a little longer today, but tomorrow they're going to the stadium. It's going to be relatively short. And same story on Friday is going to be over at the practice fields. And I think Saturday's back in the stadium, too. So now you're starting to shorten up practices and zero in on West Virginia. So I would say, at least in my mind, the lineup is set across the board.
Okay. I know we're coming up at the bottom of the hour. I'll keep this next one short. What can we expect from Tom Allen's defense? Will it look a lot like Indiana? Every time they played Indiana, I was always impressed. The defense held him in the games. I liked his schemes and stuff. Mm-hmm. I know it's not quite as blitz happy. Will it look a lot like Indiana with better athletes? What do you think?
A combination of the two, because you can't abandon everything Manny Diaz was doing, because schematically that was really terrific defense with a lot of the same athletes, and Tom realizes that. But it doesn't mean that Tom Allen touch isn't there, where you play four, a couple linebackers, five DBs, and because you have the personnel to pull it off, and it, and he loves it because the, he feels it's the most physical camp he's been to, and he knows he's got a better, to your point, Doug, a better caliber of athlete to run what he wants to run. But he also is going to keep some of the things that Manny had because it worked. And that's the most important part of all this. If it works, I'm not going to change it. But there are going to be certain things I can do based on my current personnel that I can put in some of my own touches, which you just alluded to, because I also know they work and I have better people to run them.
So far, how has the headset communication worked during the scrimmage? Any issues? I know it's all new this year.
Yeah, that's a great question, Doug, because that's going to be one of the questions I'm going to talk to with James Franklin next week, both at Quarterback Club and on the talk show Thursday, is about that part. Because in camp, the coordinators have been talking to the middle linebacker on defense and the quarterbacks. But they haven't had the 15-second part of it, but they did that over the weekend. When they were there Saturday, was it Saturday or Sunday? I think it was Sunday. When they were there Sunday, they did everything as a full deal all the way through with shutoffs at 15 seconds. And that's the key. That way they know, hey, don't overload them on verbiage. Make sure you get it with 16 seconds to go on the play clock.
Got it. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, remember this, because you've got the coordinators. James Franklin is the coach that worked in the NFL, so he's been around it. Andy Koltynicki and Tom Allen have not. So you do have to get used to that part of it, of like, okay, this is what I got to get accomplished. This is how much time I have to accomplish with the middle linebacker or the quarterback. Let's just get it done and then keep it moving. Because I can't want to make a point at the end of them about something and, oh, it shut off.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
By the way, Jersey Shore, which is not a fan of the suit, most polling shows they, in a lot of ways, they represent America. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, whether you're a business or an athlete. Get your journey rolling today at NILGameChangers.org. Yes. Good questions by Doug, as usual. Good questions. And, you do get to this time, and, he asked about, because that I think that's, they are pretty much set on what their lineup is. You don't go through, what's today, the 21st? You've gone through 3 weeks of this. You pretty much have an idea what you have. And you have a pretty good idea what you don't have. So, yeah, their lineup, in my opinion, is set. It doesn't mean that somebody can't beat out somebody else at some point or get more playing time than somebody else, but they're really set on who those people are that would be competing for it. Now the key is you do taper down. And the reason you taper down is because you want legs. And today's the day, I talked about that first year red light, green light, yellow light Monday. Well, that's what it's all about. Because now those guys that got the red light, they're on the developmental team, they're on the scout team. So you go through the practice yesterday. They already know that. Now you get the bonus days for West Virginia starting today. Just like West, I think West Virginia is starting Penn State tomorrow. And I know there's, again, in the world of sports mythology, there's always the thought process of, well, I'm sure they've been working on West Virginia since they were. No, it's not how it goes. Now, you're trying to get ready for all 12 games as to what you need to do. For the first 3 weeks, and now you get to zero in on West Virginia starting today. And the game's 10 days away, so you got the extra time to do it. In your job, what's the give me a couple things that you had always heard about over the years from people, and then realized when you actually got involved with it, it ended up being mythology.
I guess it would help if I had the mic on. That's a tough one, just because I've been doing it since I was so young. I don't know if I had to I developed much mythology.
Well, but people coming up to you today.
Well, I think the biggest mythology people have is that because I'm a sports reporter, I'm rich. That is a tough one. other than the rich part, obviously. I think people are a little surprised football-wise that I think how much that we have to do for football, in the sense that, especially high school-wise, that if you want tackle numbers, you got to do it for you got to do it yourself. The stats are, you have to keep your own stats. I don't think if you're involved in the business that you realize that how much of the stat stuff, high school-wise, is done by the reporter and not from the team.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. I mean, one of them is like the pregame talk, which is always glorified all the time. You know, and because, you know, it makes great television. It does. You know, the pregame fiery speech. I'll never forget somebody said, well, you know, like James says, well, I don't really give a lot of big speech for it. Like, oh, yeah, see, he doesn't give a speech. It's like, I sit there, I look at people like, you do know that the speech happens and then they all play for 15 minutes. It's not like they run out and they start hitting right away. I said, what do you think goes on? No, the part about, I just talked about, they've been getting ready for West Virginia anytime. No. Everybody's been trying to find their spot, first team, second team, third team, fourth team, whatever it happens to be. Now they'll zero in on West Virginia. Things like that, where it's just, it's mythology. And it can be done not just by fans, but it can be done even by the media when it comes to, I'll never forget Joe's last game and how in the last drive, Derek Moy came off the bench and caught two passes for first downs. He actually came off the bench at the end of the third quarter. He actually had been playing an entire quarter before he made those catches. He just didn't have any catches before that. So even the media can create mythology.
Babe Ruth pointing at the flagpole.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another one. Every once in a while. How things work, why they work. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, did preseason practice look any different because of the new coordinators? And I was just going to say, did they do more install than they normally do, or was that more in the spring?
No, it was preseason was as normal gets. Now, obviously, the coordinators have their own touches that they want to put in, but every season there are touches that are put in. Because the two coordinators got here in December, they were around the team when they were getting ready for the Peach Bowl. And then they had winter practice. And then they had... winter workouts. Then they had spring practice. So you go winter workouts, spring practice, and then you're allowed to have your version of OTAs. I always thought that was the most ridiculous thing. The college basketball had X amount of hours during the summer, X amount of hours in the summer to practice with, but football wasn't allowed to do it. Like, what are you doing? Well, now you're at least allowed to have some. Okay. Which is good. So when they got to camp, they already had this done. So the installs were already done because they had plenty of time to do it. So there hasn't been that gigantic learning curve. People have actually just gone out and just gone. And I think that's been a big plus. And, overall, they've been pretty much on track since the day they started camp. And it's really about stacking days, because what stacking days means is that you worked a little bit harder to be better than yesterday. You don't want to stall at all. And they have not stalled. Now, they're going to have to go out and do it in games. I can talk all I want about about what they've done to this point. But now you have to do it in games. That's where you find out, because you haven't had the opportunity to go up against anybody else except yourself to this point. And, of course, one of the great parts of training camp is that usually, not always, but usually on every play, for every good play one guy makes, somebody else is making a play they're going to get yelled about, because you're practicing it against the same team. Right? Well, now you want to go out and do it against somebody else. And now you get going with West Virginia. It's a good game right out of the gate. It's a good opponent right out of the gate. That's the other part about mythology, is the bulletin board material. Right? And I guess Garrett Hollis said something, whatever, which I, as you know, I could care less what he said. But some people are like, oh, can you believe, you know, what they're talking about? Then who cares what they're talking about? Guess what? You can yap your mouth off all you want. The first play of the game, you're going to get smacked. Okay? How do you react to it? At that point, it doesn't matter who was talking.
The rivalry, that stuff, I think that's more for, I think fans get more excited about that than the players ever do.
The rivalry part of it, where it comes into play, and the rivalry part does come into play in practice when you just feel like there's more, as much as you want to preach attention to detail all the time, when it's a rival, you feel like everybody's a little more locked in, because we can't lose this game. Now, it should be like that every game. Every game brings with it a threat. I mean, just ask Michigan when they played Appalachian State. Every game brings with it a threat. I know it's hard for people to believe, but that's true. And that's another... But that's the one part about, if it's a rival, you do feel like, for the most part, there's a little more attention to detail by the players, not by the coaches, but by the players. So that part does play a factor in practice, the attention to detail because of the emotion of it. How about that?
I guess my thought was the players don't actually dislike each other because they're rivals. How's that?
Oh no, that's not true. They don't like. I mean, they're, some people are going against former teammates, you know, or people they played against before, or played in an all-star game with, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's not quite the "I hate that guy." Nah, I really don't hate that guy, actually, you know, but I sure don't want to lose to him.
No.
Yeah. I don't want that dude bragging, right? But then when the game's over, it's like, hey, and you can see when the game is over, you know, the respect, you know, the hug back and forth, whatever. There's not hatred. You don't see that happening. Now the fans, oh, okay. That's a different part. That's a different part. And some fan bases are worse than others. And it also depends on how many refreshing beverages may have been ingested before the game and in the post-game parking lot, as to what opinions are registered toward the other fan base.
And kick time.
Oh. I mean, I remember going in to it was Iowa a couple of years ago. And this was the game where you know, every time a Penn State player got hurt, the fans booed and everything like that. And I remember going up the driveway from Route 6. And you have to wind your way to get to the stadium. And, you know, and the usual people are, you know, booing, thumbs down, things like that. And it was this college-aged co-ed. And she's over there on the top of the hill, flipping the bird with both hands. And I said to Jack, I said, I'm sure mom and dad are proud about that one. You're just looking at it and go, what are you doing?
I thought the next part of it was you looked up and they were behind her.
I was like, what are you doing? Like, come on. I was like, root for your own team. Just like, I just don't get that stuff. I mean, now, did she appear to be sober? No. Yeah, but you know, you'll run into fans like that. You know, double birds and things like that. I just sit in the back row of the bus looking over, right? And we're all laughing at it. What, you think it's making anybody in the bus mad? Like, we're all laughing. Okay, no offense, we're laughing at you. Because guess what? You're a comedy. It's like, what? Like, what? You think I sat in the background going, whoa. Or I'll look over at Jack and go, I wonder if they know we're the announcers. I told them what I thought. Yeah, and they all laughed back at you. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by NIL Game Changers.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.